You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This podcast is brought to you by IG, a global leader in online trading and authorized financial services provider. The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Tuesday, it's the double-header dream team of David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Nick Kunzer from Sunland Private Wealth. And also the show incorporates the Tuesday trade. David, I'm just going to start with you because I was just looking through a few of the numbers, and Nick will embellish these numbers, as will you, as we go through this chat. The Dow has had its best month for 33 years, I think. Bitcoin is close to 20,000. But I'm looking at something else on my screen now, and that's the US 10-year bond yield, which has suddenly risen by 7%, or nearly 7%, at 0.90%. And to me, this might be the key to the end of the year and 2021. I don't know. I've just got a feeling that the US bond yield is going to be incredibly significant for all asset classes. Over to you.
It's quite interesting because I was reading something from a crowd called Alpine Macro, which came out of BCA, I think a breakaway team, and I was just looking at them, and they came out yesterday with a strategy document, and they said there were three things that were worrying them. They were very bullish on stocks for the reasons that we've mentioned many times. I'm not going to go over them, but they said there were three things that worried them. The one was, and Nick's going to appreciate, the one was China, where they say you can't predict what they're going to do, you know, and in other words, they can tighten monetary policy when they shouldn't be doing it, you know, which they did in 13, 15, and they did again, I think, in 18, or they softened in 18, but you don't know what can come out of them. So they're unpredictable, and the world economy needs them. They need a steady. That's the one. The other was the VIX. And the VIX, they said it's a 20 or thereabouts now, which is Goldilocks. Still a little concerns, which I think are related to COVID. At 35 and 50, you panic, and at 10, you're too complacent. But the third one was PEs. And what they said is that their PEs are at about, they say the S&P is about 21, 22. Okay. But if you take out the top five, it brings it down to 17. But what they did is there's a relationship between the equity market and the bond market. And they reckon with the PEs at these levels, and I'm not going to go into the full details of how they calculate all of this, but these details, they reckon that the 10-year should be at somewhere around about 1.25 to 1.5. Right. Okay. So what they're saying is, hold on, either the S&P – sorry. Either the 10-year is going to go up to 1.5, or alternatively, stocks are going to make up. And in other words, that the bond market is overpriced and the equity market is underpriced. Yes. So that could correct, or alternatively, the other way around.
So which is it going
so
to be?
They're not frightened by it. They say either one can happen. Hmm. My view is that I don't think the Fed will necessarily allow the bonds to go up to 1.5 or thereabouts.
Yes.
at that percentage. So all I'm trying to identify in a long-winded way is that it's not, you know, even if you do find it going up there, it's not necessarily bad for the markets. In fact, they reckon that the U.S. market is, I mean, the bond market is a little overpriced.
Nick, I've heard the opposite. I heard that there's so much gearing. And I've said it a couple of times this week with various commentators, including yourself, Nick, that if the US bond starts to ramp up in terms of yield, and then when I say ramp up, it's not 1-3%, it's 20 basis points here and there, then people are so overgeared towards it that then they might have to do something in the short term, which is equivalent to raising some cash in order to pay for their losses or pay for their margin calls. What do you think about what David just said?
Sure. This conversation going for hours.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to turn off now and I'll speak to you both at 11.
Okay, so let me address the bond market. I mean, the bond market for me is up there with the VIX, which you mentioned, which David mentioned in the intro, is probably the one thing I look at every single morning when I turn my screens on. Like, what is your value of the 10-year and what's your value of 30? And like, more and more people are looking further out as well with the bond markets. Difficult to gauge because the bond markets have been manipulated by quantitative easing, by central banks. So those prices aren't really a true reflection. As much as we like it to be, you know, those rates that are set have been artificially pushed down. I think more now they're starting to look more realistic because the markets are pricing where they think things are. My concern I share with Lindsay in this one in that I think there's a lot of companies that have been kept artificially alive because of artificially low bond yields. And I think if bond yields rise quite quickly, Lindsay's right, there's a lot of gearing out there and those companies will go to the wall. I like to comment on the VIX in that at 20 on the VIX is very, very in line with what we've seen. But I'll go one step further for the volatility traders out there, which I look more at the volatility, like the term structure. So where I look further out, the volatility is not pricing in much risk, and I think that's a little bit complacent. But for now, it's supportive of risk and supportive of equities and what we're seeing. But there's not much people paying for protection further out. There should be more risk priced in than there's not. That's a little bit of a concern for me. And then equity prices with PEs and stuff, I think this you know, use the term Goldilocks. I think the environment right now for equities is attractive. Money's still cheap. And I think for now, we've seen the S&Ps as we speak, new all-time high, NASDAQ all new time high. I think that's likely to continue certainly for the near term. But I've got a little bit of a concern with, I think things will start, I say normalize. I mean, what is normal now? I mean, normal should be, you talk about the BCA guys, David, and your guys, Alpine. I mean, normal should probably be 2, 3, 4, 5% interest rates. I think, I don't know. I don't know. Certainly 0.9 is not normal. So maybe in the new normal, we should be closer to 1.5. And then I think we should be watching that. So, I mean, I've said this to you, Lindsay, as well on the show. Like, we should be looking at this 10-year more closely.
I think we should.
I think when they start going over 1%, it's all about the cost of money. The whole world revolves and what is your cost of money?
Precisely.
And look no further than the 10-year. So I think it's a great conversation, guys.
How much money is there, first of all? Yeah. How much money is there and how much does it cost? There's a lot of money out there and it's very cheap at the moment. But as soon as the amount of money that is in the system starts to become more expensive, then people say, wait a second, I can't do what I've been used to doing for the last, not 1 month, not 1 year, but since 2009, 2010. It's extraordinary what's been pumped into the system. Let's have a look at the JSE today. And I'm going down from our time now down to 1533, Signia Limited, Magda Vizicka, trading statement, share price up 12.7% to 1660. Who wants to start with that one? Because this is a good South African story, I have to say.
Yeah.
And it's a disruptor, as we know. David, you said yeah, so off you go.
She's going to do well. You know, I think if we consider where markets have come from, we saw it in Coronation's numbers and you're seeing it in asset management numbers. They've done well. You know, if portfolios are improving and we're at record highs, or near record highs. I won't say record highs for the JSE, but I think most of these portfolios are well diversified. Magda's been quite innovative in where she's taken her business, so I would imagine she's doing all right. It's still relatively a small business, but I think Nick will tell you from Sanlam and all the other asset managers. You're going to see better results coming out simply because of the performance of markets, which wasn't there 6 months ago. You know, when we had to deal with the March blow, we've recovered that March blow. So, I like her very much, and I think that her business is, you know, is well focused. Would I buy the shares? I'm not buying any small cap financials. I'm just too risky for me. I see Anchor's going off the market as well.
Yes, exactly.
Which I don't know. I don't know why they ever came on, you know, with respect to Peter.
I've got plenty of reasons why they came on.
I've always looked and seen these businesses come on, and you know that sooner or later they're going to be ignored and and come off. You know, we've seen Nvest. There's so many different little businesses. You either Sanlam or, you know, either what's it? What's the dog about peeing? If you can't pee, like the big dogs, or running with the big dogs, you know.
No, if you want to run with the big dogs, and you've got to pee on the big trees.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't pee like a puppy. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. I've got horrible things in my head at the moment. But anyway, yeah. Let's go back to the Stock Exchange News Service now. Nampac came out with its results at 11:51, a little bit late, down 3.9%. I want to talk about two South African companies now. Barloworld, which is shooting the lights out, up around 12-13% on my screen, and Nampac at the same time going the other way,
isn't
down
that
nearly
funny,
4%.
Hey?
What is that?
I think they were once part of the same, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know whether Barlow's and Nampac were together, but I mean, both were great companies at one stage. Barlow's used to dominate the scene here. It was a massive business, you know, Corner House, based in Corner House. And when you see what's left of it today, I mean, of course, it shrunk all its mines. Its mines have all gone. But what worries me is now the only reason it's gone up is because they're trying to get out of the logistics business, and they're getting out of their motor business, which was basically Avis, and I think in some distributorships, if they still got those. At the end of the day, they're going to be sellers of yellow metal. That's it, you know, which is basically Caterpillar. Yes. And I think some of the equipment, I still think they've got that business, the mining equipment business. But that's it, you know, from the huge business that they used to be. So I think all the market's doing now is responding to the fact that they're going to get rid of these businesses and get some cash in, and I don't know, maybe focus on Caterpillar. But it's not a business I would rush into.
Nick, you've gone quiet.
Which one? Which one? Both.
Yeah, both. I mean, we spoke about Nampac this morning. And we said, isn't it strange that they're not coming up with their results?
Yeah. I mean, who knows what the reasons are? I mean, it's, you know, it's a listed company, as we said this morning, with a market cap of just over R1 billion. I mean, you know, there's obviously a reason for it, but it doesn't sit very well as an investor. But on the other side, Barloworld results, I think, again, falling in that little basket of SA focus, people thinking there's value there. I'm not sure if we're there just yet. Exactly what David's saying, yellow metal. Certainly you expect the bounce back with their machinery like Caterpillar, and the mining sector very strong at the moment globally. So you expect that to filter through for something like a Barloworld. But I don't know, a little bit early for me with the SA Inc. just yet.
You know, Nick, just and Lindsay, I think the more I looked at Standard Bank's statement, the more concerned you were.
Do you know what? I said that to 20 people today, and I said it over. I said, you know, everyone's getting in. Well, we're too early. Yeah. Did we miss the SA balance, etc.? I don't know why more kudos is not, or more sort of focus is not put on that Standard Bank statement, because that is the biggest lender on the continent, and they specifically signaled out South Africa as where their Tier 3, i.e. 90 days or more of that book is starting to look a little bit unhappy. And I think that's I think that just validates the what I've been saying to people. We're too early yet. Just relax. You're going to get your chance.
Sorry to interrupt both of you, but that is interesting, because it was a voluntary trading statement. They were more or less flagging that there's problems ahead. Is that what you're saying, Nick?
You know, their year end is the end of December. Now, if you know that your profits are going to be down more than 20%, you've got to put out a statement, which is what they did. So they didn't. They said they will be more than 20%, or at least 20% down. You know, so you had to put out a statement, and they coloured it with a little bit of, with detail. And that detail was not coloured. It was really poor and black. And I'm with Nick. I just, you know, when you read it, you said, hold on a sec. We're just hearing about the 4-month recovery, and things are getting better, and they're not going to be bad. And they come out and said, more retrenchments going to put a lot of pressure on the consumer.
And I must tell you, I got a sort of a bit of a pushback from a few clients and a few people when I hit the phones off. See, I was in Cape Town yesterday. I sort of picked up a story last night when I was flying in. And I actually sort of did a double take, because I thought that was like the story of the day. And I got a bit of a pushback from various people saying, no, it's backward looking. And I'm like, no, I think this is – you guys are telling me that – that SA equities are cheap, SA Inc is cheap. Well, I've always been very vocal, Dave, and I know you have as well. Financials are such good barometers to countries. And this is the biggest lender on the continent and one of the biggest lenders in South Africa. And I think that statement is quite a big statement. Mm. They're saying to you, just hang about. You know, there's a reason why we're cheap. SA's got a lot of work to do. And I think, I don't know, and I guess for me also it puts a little bit of a question mark over the, you know, the Reserve Bank and the like have been very vocal about holding on, not paying our dividends. And this will make me question, do you think these banks might say, well, actually, you know, we might need to keep it a little more on the side. I don't know. It was a little bit sort of brushed over by some of the media, but I thought it was quite a big story.
And look, it filters through to retailers as well. I think what they're saying is that people haven't got money, and they're very careful. I haven't seen any results coming from Black Friday, but anecdotally, they're not good, or they haven't been good, or they've been disappointing. Certainly in the at the top end of the market, I'm talking the durables. So I haven't heard anything there. We'll hear it a little later, but. I just think people are under pressure, and that's why I think we're jumping the gun. We've seen the turnaround. We've seen a quick turnaround from the poor levels that we saw when there was stage one and two lockdown, or what's it, stage five and four, whatever. But I don't know whether it's going to continue. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer and say don't do it. I'm just saying you don't have to rush. Just wait.
Yeah, I haven't got time to wait, David.
I just want to comment a little bit on the coalface stuff. I mean, I was in Cape Town as you know, for a couple of days seeing clients, and on the Sunday night went out with some friends for dinner at Colcaccio's in Stellenbosch, actually. Interestingly enough, it was absolutely packed, the restaurant, and the reason why is because on Sunday night they have one of these specials, like buy one get one free, or whatever, in that particular restaurant. And packed, and I was just chatting to the waitress, trying to gauge a feel for it. And she said, "No, when they do their specials, restaurant's full. Every other night they're empty. Only when they do the specials." And then I was asking, like, "Well, what sort of payment and how does it work? Well, who does what?" She says, "No, they have these apps that I don't know. They get these vouchers." And people sort of get these vouchers on their smartphone, and they come in and they get, you know, buy one, get one free. And I looked around the restaurant, everyone paying with these sort of app vouchers of the night, quite well-to-do looking people. And you're just thinking, like, they're the ones who are trying to find a buy one, get one free restaurant to take your family out.
Well, it's exactly the same thing, Nick, as in the UK.
No, but I'm just saying, I think it's...
The government in the UK paid people to go to restaurants. They discounted the bills. Well, I can't... Eat out to something.
Out to whatever it was. Yeah, that was Rishi, the finance minister. That was one thing.
Yeah, the Chancellor of Exchequer.
I saw it... with my own eyes on Sunday night, and I was like, wow, I didn't realize it was that bad.
Out to help out, that was it, yeah.
That was it.
Anyway, let's have a look at the spot markets now and contextualize what we're saying. The dollar rand is 15.24, the British pound against the rand is 20.36, the euro rand is 18.28, and the euro dollar, here we go, ring the bell, it's 120.
Yeah, 120.
120 on the nose, euro dollar 120. This thing was 106 earlier this year. Thank you, Mr. Trump. That has gone down. I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, because I can't work that sort of thing out. But anyway.
It's not good for Europe.
No, it's not good for Germany.
They're an export nation.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're exporters.
And because of that, let's go to the gold price now, which has been erratic and schizophrenic in the last week or two. It was 1771 this morning. It's now 1808.
$40, it's a huge move.
It's a massive, massive move for gold. I mean, it's still $220 or $40 below its record high of 4 or 5 months ago. Anyway, platinum is up nearly $50 at $999. Call the police. Palladium is where, please, Nick?
Yeah, also up $80. Solid, solid session as well. Really good session.
But on the other hand, thank you, OPEC. West Texas crude is down 1.2% at $44.81 per barrel. Brent crude is $47.53 per barrel, which is down 0.75%. And Nick, you can give us Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P live, please.
Yeah, well, all new highs. NASDAQ up 1%. The Dow Jones also up 1%. And the S&P's up 0.8%. Sure. And I must point out, all three
just
hit new highs. Yeah.
It's just amazing. I don't know what's going on. David, have you ever seen anything like this?
On record November.
No.
I've never seen such a dislocation between asset classes. Mm. One's going here, one's going there, and everything else is going everywhere. I don't understand it. Anyway.
Just, you don't have to. Just play along with it.
Mm.
You know what, you know what I mean? I think you're only going to get a headache if you try and fathom this one out. And obviously there's huge money behind it. Whatever's driving it, let it go. I think we've discussed the reasons. I spoke to you on Monday. Where were we today? Tuesday?
Yeah, that was yesterday,
Dave. I think even next year, if we were able to get 6 to 8%, I'd be thrilled. You know, I'm talking from the beginning.
I'm talking globally, the S&P or anything.
I think, you know, I can live with that. I'm not sure it's going to be all one way for the whole year. I'm using this. I'm looking at mainly results. You know what I mean. I'm looking at a results driven market against, of course, the politics and economics of next year. But anyway, listen. You know, this is. I'd rather it was going in this direction than the other, especially at this time of the year. At least we can turn off and just have a decent December.
Let's hope so.
We need it. Sure.
Yeah, please come on.
I must tell you, it's just a few months. Just another thing.
Yes, go on.
You know, copper keeps going up, and I looked at. Mm. I Nick, you're going to have to help me with the iron ore price because I look at the dollar price and it's 129, which is also a very high level of iron ore.
Let me validate that. So iron ore is the futures market is traded in two places, Singapore and China. The price is paid out of a Dalian exchange in China. That hits a new high this morning at about $136. And I must tell you, the likes of Rio Tinto and those boys have got like this, the way they price like our guys do where the long-term prices are. They've got an average price of $65. It's $136 at the moment.
Because that's their contract. You mean that's their outlook? That's what they see?
That's what they price in for their outlook for their books at $65. It's $136. It's more than double.
No, I know.
Okay, gentlemen.
They've got it completely wrong. Because I always follow the discussion in iron ore. You know, and always exactly
everyone's
what you're saying
wrong.
Now. I look at the analysts and analysts just see weakness. And I don't know where they get it wrong because they spend the entire time. That's all they do is try and forecast commodity prices. Not like us who just have a vague look at it. And they get it completely wrong.
And that iron ore contract, I mean, that's a big contract. That is the key ingredient for steel prices.
David, what you've just said is that the people that do seven-figure-a-year jobs are getting it wrong most of the time. I mean, I know you two analyze. Yeah. No, you two analyze, but also you put your money where your mouths are, or where your clients' mouths are, but with a backing of your own personal opinion and probably your own money. But there are people sitting there that are going through all sorts of data and other analytics and getting it wrong all the time and still getting paid seven figures a year. It's odd, isn't it?
No, it is. It's peculiar. I mean, even if you take our local market as well, when you think about the downgrades and, you know, where the Rand was going to be and so on, and you look at the market and no, it's not. Market's telling you something else completely different. So anyway, it is
an interesting conversation, Dave, because I've knocked heads with a few people recently exactly over this price, because they've got their certain prices for Anglo American and for in particular Kumba, etc. And they've got their price of like $65, and I'm like, well, it's $136 at the moment. No, but the long term price is this and that. And I'm just like, well, I'm a trader, right? And I look what's in front of me, and I'm telling you that the guys in China are happy to pay $136 from the mills. Okay? I'm sure they'd be very happy to pay $65, but it's not $65. You know? So it's a real dislocation between, I mean, how forward looking do you want to be? And I'd rather take the
If you want to do your PhD, do it on the iron ore price and analysts.
And the Rand dollar to throw it in for good
measure. I'm going to include with the Australian Trade Minister. I'm going to say the Australian Trade Minister and his view on iron ore, which was $45 not too long ago, completely screwed it up.
Okay, anyway. Well, in that case, what I'm going to do in my PhD...
I just upset the entire Australia. Yeah.
The PhD that you should do is the fraudulent nature of the financial services industry. I mean, there's a body of people that are very, very good at what they do and are decent people, and I would number you two in that particular category. But the rest, I don't know. I sometimes get a little bit... I sometimes sit down and say, do I really want to have this conversation with somebody? Do I really believe what they're going to say? And I'm not talking about you. I say, does it really matter? And some of the things that you've said over the last 10 years to me have been completely wrong. What is right, though, is that Barlow World is up 15.1% today. Uh-huh. Pan-African Resources up 9.2%. DRD Gold, any chance of any sponsors, by the way, have just gone out the window. DRD Gold up 8.9%. Goldfields up 6.7%. And Anglo Gold Ashanti up 6.6% as well. So apart from Barlow World, it was all diggers. On the downside, MC Group, interesting, down 3.9%. Yeah, yeah. Transaction Capital down 3.75%. ACI down 3.25%. Hammerson down 3.1%. And Sasol, still pretty good. Still pretty elevated, you know, but down 3%. MC Group, David, you want to talk about
just
it, don't
on
you?
That, yeah, because I saw a headline. I mean, it's just to warning the country to beware of the streamers. You know, the streamers are coming in.
Yeah.
In other words, it's going to be you're going to be spoiled for choice, should I say. And I think I've always worried about multi-choice. I know that Nick likes it and for various reasons, but I've always been concerned that if they can't get huge local content, et cetera, somewhere along the line, you're going to find this massive inflow of streaming, you know, and just unlimited choice. That's their biggest threat. Whether it was only the headlines that knocked it back, I don't know. But it's been a good performer this year. We can't take away from that.
No, it has been a good performer. And I will tell you another thing as well. I mean, I don't have Netflix. I refuse to buy it just because I'm lazy and I can't fill in the form or whatever it is. Everyone I know.
It comes from there, from Amsterdam. We pay to Amsterdam. You know, we pay Holland.
Whatever it is. The point
I'm
making is.
Down the road from you.
Shut up. The people, I mean, my family members, I'm the youngest of six kids, and my older family members are sending me messages saying, have you seen this on Netflix? Have you seen that on Netflix? Every single day, the amount of content that they're creating with their billions is extraordinary. Nick, I mean, you watch a bit of that. You must have watched what's that thing called? The chess
Queen's
series.
Gambit.
The Queen's Gambit. What a series that is. I mean, that's extraordinary. Yeah. But it's every single week or month they're coming up with something which is really watchable. So I mean, how can MC Group compete with that?
They're not competing. they're kind of joining. I actually think. I mean, look, we can just debate
crown,
this for another story. But no, I mean that they're joining them. So what they've decided, what they've figured out, is that these streamers, Netflix and Hulu, is another one, Amazon Prime, Apple TV. I could go on.
Yes.
They're all in that space now. It's a very crowded space. But the internet penetration and the fiber that's available within the continent is few and far between. So the likes of DSTV, MultiChoice, which has a very sort of good penetration into the continent via their dish, via the old-fashioned cable method, as they call it in America, they've decided to basically bolt on these streamers onto the desktops and do it that way. So it's a little bit sort of reverse around backwards way of doing it. But I think it's quite clever, and that's initially why it popped from sort of 80 to 140, but I think it's giving a little bit back now. But anyway, yeah, that's the biggest problem you've got on this continent with the youngest sort of demographic in the world is that we're still as far behind when it comes to fast streaming abilities.
Okay. Nick, give us the closing prices on this Tuesday, the first day of December trading on the JSE Securities Exchange. Where did the indices finish, please?
Well, very nicely, actually. Well off the lows from this morning. JSE All Share 417 points firmer, 0.73%, 57,509. JSE Top 40, the company's index, 388 firmer, 0.74%. And in general, pretty good. Industrial leading us high. Of course, that's going to be the Barlow Worlds and the like. Industrial index up 5.25% today. Energy shares up 1.4%. Gold shares, also that index had a really good day, up 5%. Basic materials up 1.35%. And the downside lagging us a bit was healthcare down 0.25%. Consumer non-cyclicals down 0.82%. And value traded today, I don't know, I suppose it's okay. I thought it would be more. 21.132 billion value traded.
And if you look at the S&P futures on my screen, up 1.4%, all-time record highs.
New high.
NASDAQ futures up nearly 1% to just below 12,400. And the other thing, which is so interesting, which doesn't make sense to me, actually, it does, because interest rates are going to go up and inflation is going to go up. The U.S. 10-year bond, which was 0.88% when we started this conversation, is now 0.914%, which is a nearly 9% move on the day, which is seven basis points, which is big, Nick.
I don't think people who don't trade can understand what a move that is of the most tradable asset class in the world, bar none. That is monstrous. Bonds are not supposed to move like that, and a 10-year is not supposed to move like that. So, yes, that is the story.
Yeah. Nick Kunzer is from Sandland Private Wealth. David Shapiro is from Sasum Securities. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was brought to you by IG, a global leader in online trading and authorized financial services provider. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.